Hello and welcome to episode 832 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this afternoon. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Thursday, March 14th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with St. Alphonsus Liguori's Thursday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain heaven. O Queen of Paradise, who reignest above all the choirs of angels, and who art the nearest of all creatures to God, I, a miserable sinner, salute thee from this valley of tears, and beseech thee to turn thy compassionate eyes towards me, for whichever side they turn, they dispense graces. See, O Mary, in how many dangers I now am and shall be as long as I live in this world, of losing my soul, of losing heaven and God. In thee, O Lady, I have placed all my hopes. I love thee, and sigh to go soon to see thee, and praise thee in heaven. Ah, Mary, when will be that happy day on which I shall see myself safe at thy feet and contemplate my mother, who has done so much for my salvation? When shall I kiss that hand which has delivered me so many times from hell and has dispensed me so many graces, when, on account of my sins, I deserve to be hated and abandoned by all? My Lady, in life I have been very ungrateful to thee, but if I get to heaven, I shall no longer be ungrateful. There I shall love thee as much as I can in every moment for all eternity, and shall make amends for my ingratitude by blessing and thanking thee forever. I thank God with my whole heart, who gives me firm confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ and in thee, and the conviction that thou wilt save me, that thou wilt deliver me from my sins, that thou wilt give me light and strength to execute the divine will, and in fine, that thou wilt lead me to the gate of paradise. Thy servants have hoped for all this, and not one of them was deceived. No, neither shall I be deceived. O Mary, my full confidence is that thou hast to save me. Beseech thy Son Jesus, as I also beseech him by the merits of his passion, to preserve and always increase his confidence in me, and I shall be saved. And now, friends, we will move to this prayer for the conversion of the Jews. Most sweet Jesus, Redeemer of the human race, turn thine eyes of mercy toward the children of that race, once thy chosen people. Of old they called down upon themselves the blood of the Savior. May it now descend upon them a laver of redemption and of life. Amen. Today, friends, we will return once more to fisheaters.com, the excellent traditional Catholic website, for Meditations for Lent, which is available in the public domain. This edition was published by Sheedon Ward in 1937. The author, of course, is another great saint and doctor of the church, St. Thomas Aquinas, in addition to Alphonsus Liguori, St. Thomas Aquinas, a.k.a. the Angelic Doctor. This is entitled Fourth Thursday, for the Fourth Thursday in Lent, the death of Lazarus, and I'm going to take one last delicious swig of my coffee. One moment, please. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm back. One. Lazarus, our friend, sleepeth. John 11:11. Our friend, for the many benefits and services he rendered us, and therefore we owe it not to fail in his necessity, sleepeth, therefore we must come to his assistance. A brother is proved in distress. Proverbs 17:17. He sleepeth. I say, as St. Augustine says, to the Lord, but to men he was dead, nor had they power to raise him. Sleep is a word we use with various meanings. We use it to mean natural sleep, negligence, blameworthy inattention, the peace of contemplation, the peace of future glory, and we use it also to mean death. We will not have you ignorant concerning the last sleep, that you be not sorrowful, even as others that have no hope, says St. Paul, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 12. Death is called sleep because of the hope of resurrection. And so it has been customary to give death this name since the time when Christ died and was raised again. I have slept and have taken my rest. Psalm 3:6. And if we want what's best for our friends, we want what's best for anyone, we want heaven for them. It's good to pray for health, absolutely. It's good to pray for assistance from the Lord if you're in a difficult financial situation, or praying for wisdom as you're preparing for a test or some other examination. And we ask the Lord for all sorts of things, and we should, in accordance with His will, and above all else, that we conform our will to His, and we seek the Lord's kingdom first. But what we want most for ourselves and for everyone else is heaven, the beatific vision. That's what we're created for. So all of our interactions with everyone should have that in mind. And it's been said before, I believe by Dr. Peter Kraft, maybe he was echoing the words of C.S. Lewis, I'm not sure about that. But every person we meet, we're either seeing an everlasting dream or an everlasting nightmare. Because anyone and everyone we encounter is either going to end up eventually in heaven or hell. Those are the stakes. Stakes are high. The stakes are huge. It's heaven or hell, ultimately, for everyone. Keep that in mind during Lent and always. We always want what's best for our family, for our friends, and yes, even our enemies. For our Lord says that we have to pray for our enemies. We have to love our enemies and do good to those who persecute you. It's where Catholicism differs from other faiths. It's no longer an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It's turning the other cheek. And ultimately, wanting heaven for everyone. Number two, St. Thomas begins with John 11:11 here. I go that I may awake him out of sleep. In these words, Jesus gives us to understand that he could raise Lazarus from the tomb as easily as we raise a sleeper from his bed. Nor is this to be wondered at. For he is none other than the Lord who raiseth up the dead and giveth life. John 5:21. And hence he is able to say, the hour cometh when all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And that was in John 5:28. So nothing is difficult for God. Obviously, Jesus is the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. But as we've discussed before on the Our Lady of Fatima podcast, hearing a talk one time from Dr. Scott Hahn, the eminent biblical theologian, what happens to us at the confessional is even more amazing, because God forgives our sins through the priest, acting in persona Christi, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The priest can't forgive sins. It's God who's forgiving the sins, because only God can forgive sin through the priest. He acts as his mediator, his duly appointed minister, to act in his name. Think about that, friends. That's a greater thing than raising Lazarus from the dead. Why? Because Lazarus eventually died. Whenever he died, 5, 10, 15 years later, I don't know. He eventually died of something else. But when we're freed from sin, when we hear those words of absolution from the priest in the confessional, our sins are forgiven by our Lord. Once again, Gilbert Keith Chesterton saying, why did you become Catholic? To have my sins forgiven. It's such a blessing to be Catholic. Number three, St. Thomas quotes John 11:15. Let us go to him. Here it is the mercifulness of God that we are shown. Men living in sin and as it were dead, unable to any power of their own to come to him. He mercifully draws, anticipating their desire and need. Jeremiah speaks of this when he says, "Thus saith the Lord, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore have I drawn thee, taking pity on thee." Jeremiah 31:3. And it's been said, friends, that of all of the Lord's attributes, he is omnipotence, he is omniscience, he is wisdom, he is the Logos, the Word of God. He is also, of course, merciful love. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the merciful love of our Heavenly Father. Number four, Jesus therefore came and found that he had been 4 days already in the grave. John 11:17. St. Augustine sees in the 4 days dead Lazarus a figure of the fourfold spiritual death of the sinner. He dies, in fact, through original sin, through actual sin against the natural law, through actual sin against the written law, through actual sin against the law of the gospel and of grace. Another interpretation is that the first day represents the sin of the heart. Take away the evil of your thoughts, says Isaiah 1:16. The second day represents sins of the tongue. Let no evil speech proceed from your mouth, says St. Paul, Ephesians 4:29. The third day represents the sins of evil action. Cease to do perversely, Isaiah 1:16. The fourth day stands for the sins of wicked habit. Whatever explanation we give, our Lord at times does heal those who are 4 days dead. That is, those who have broken the law of the gospel and are bound fast by habits of sin. So ends the meditation. Thinking about evil speech, it says, let no evil speech proceed from your mouth. That's in Ephesians 4:29. We have to be careful, especially of gossip. If you know people are getting on our nerves, or if we tempted to comment on the lives people are leading, let's remember that. Let no evil speech proceed from your mouth. Now, this isn't to ignore the evil that's going on in the world, but let's pray for people who are caught up in sinful activity. And let's remember the words of St. Jose Maria Escrivá. Don't say, that person annoys me. Say, that person sanctifies me. Pray for that person. Fast for that person. Offer up sacrifices for this person in your life. Don't talk about them behind their back. Gossip is something that's very dangerous, and I think it's something that isn't talked about enough in the church, and I'm making no claims to holiness in this regard. I'm sure I've been guilty of that many, many times, and it's something I need to work on. Let's conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. RPM is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now, thanks to God's grace, her hard work, that of her family breaking through to open communication via RPM, we know that she's a comprehensive genius who composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. She has so many gifts and talents, but those were all hidden until she could break through to open communication. Communication is a human right. Imagine how frustrated and sad you would be if you were locked in a prison of silence. Couldn't even tell your family what you wanted for breakfast, what your favorite color was. Just carry on normal conversations. This has been a game changer for so many families. It's as big in terms of being able to communicate as sign language is for the deaf or Braille for the blind in terms of their being able to read, but you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. Please spread this information to everybody you know. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.